When you find your place in Psalm 119, verse 97, say amen.
Amen.
I now stand. And then we'll read it together. The Bible said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." Now, if you think your enemies got more smarts on you, you ain't been in the book enough.
Right.
Amen. That's what I give. Somebody would think that David is bragging on himself here, but he's not. He's giving honor to the Word. Then he said in verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." If you think you're not as smart as your teachers, you ain't the book. Amen. God give you more understanding than your teachers. He said, "For thy testimonies are my meditation." He's mentioned that twice now. "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, are thy words unto my..." Let me go back and read it again. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though or through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." You'd be seated. And let's pray together and seek the face of God. Father, give us understanding, Lord, this day, this morning. I pray, dear Father, you'd give us strength. Not to physical strength, although, Lord, we need it. Not mental strength, although, Lord, we'd be grateful for more mental strength. Lord, for health strength, we thank you for that, but that's not what we're talking about either. Lord, we pray in this morning you give us more spiritual strength than we've ever had. And Lord, I pray that you might give us wisdom, and Lord, that's what spiritual strength will do. And I pray, God, you'll increase our knowledge of the Scriptures. Help us to stand in the gap today and be made, Lord, of what we need to be made through the Word of God to stand. And when we've done all to stand, giving you the glory and the honor. Have thine own way, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just mention a few things here. Early in, in about the mid-1970s, 73, 74, 75, I believe it was the swine flu that we had come through. Not sure which one it was. But I remember some phenomenal thing happened to us. I was pastoring in Norcross in Goral, Georgia. And they come out with a serum or a shot that said it prevented the swine flu. I never will forget this, that they made it mandatory for us to take it. I don't know whether it was here in this area or not. But we got a thing and we had to go take it on the Sunday afternoon. I took my family to a place that they had designated, and our whole family and whole church went and took that swine flu because it was a serious thing at that time. I really didn't pay much attention to that. I really didn't. Then in this day, I probably would think twice about it. I was young. My kids are small. And I thought about that since then. And what I'm saying that far is that this has not even got anything to do with the preaching of what I'm going to do today in the Word of God. But I want to throw this in. We've got people in our country today that have put the church to the level as nothing. And there's multitudes in our country today that like to shut the church down forever. The rest of them would like to pull for a one world system, and that's, you're seeing that today. This is the first time in my lifetime I've seen something affect the whole entire earth. And they have taken their liberties with that, and recently some won't turn loose, and reason some of them have got so strong, and when they shut down businesses and won't let them, even though they're complying with things, they will not let them open. Changing locks.
Yeah.
Thus in the country. They don't want the church to open. They don't want the spirituality. They want the control. And if the government ever gets to a place that they can get some control, they'll go for the rest of the control. And we're seeing more of a stage today of a one world system.
Right.
I'm going to make a statement here, and you can wrap me up in the newspaper and throw me away if you want to, accurate. But I just want to tell you this. I have no reason to doubt it, but one of these days, and it may not be long, matter of fact, they're talking about serums or shots that they can give for this stuff. It probably may not be as long in the making as they said it would be.
Right.
And when this junk is over, and they're talking about another wave of it coming through, and they're scaring the people of the world and the earth, and they're going to tell you that when it happens and they've got this thing, if you take this shot, it'll protect you from getting this virus. And there's a lot more, and I wouldn't be afraid to say, and I don't know all I need to know about this, but there's no telling what they can put in that.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to scare you by no means. But when I went and took that shot of the swine flu that got the American people into the plane and the thought that, hey, they can make you do something.
Yeah.
And now, with the scare of it coming back, and they're telling you now that the second wave is probably going to be worse than the first wave. And when you take that, it's supposed to protect you. And that's another sign of heading toward the mark of the beast.
Right.
I'm not saying that is the mark of the beast. Because if it is, we're going out of here. Amen. We're leaving.
Right.
But I'm saying to you this, that they're going to have the control of that. And that they're going to be able to say you've got to do it. And if you can't do it, what do you do now? If you don't go of what they say, you can't buy and you can't sell now.
Yeah.
Because you can't work, you can't have no money to buy.
Uh-huh.
You can't sell because nobody will buy what you got. Understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And that's just prelude of one of these days when the church is called out that the world's going to have to face this. And I'm not in here trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, wait down the road, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 10 months, or a year from now, and see if they don't tell you this is mandatory for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And you probably have to take it. But I'm trying to tell you that that's exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation. And they go to the market. You know how I said that or why I said it? Because now when you go to a restaurant and they're starting to do this, and you go to a restaurant and you come out of there, they'll say, what's your name? Where do you live? And they're trying to check up on you. They're trying to get all they can from you. Amen. Now we'll drop all that and dump it, and we're going to change gears. Amen. I started to preach a message on it, but I won't. Not this morning. But let's go into the Word of God here. And I want to talk about some distinguishing marks of a Christian. Well, let's not say a Christian. Christian today is misused.
Right. Yeah.
Anything and everything
that
lies and cusses and steals and can be called a Christian in our modern day. So let's not label a message. Let's not mess up a good message. Let's just say this morning the distinguishing marks of a Bible believer.
Yeah.
And when I say Bible, I'm talking about King James.
Amen.
Bible.
Amen.
So let's talk about this morning some distinguishing marks of a Bible believer. Number one, you can jot these down. I had an enjoyable time writing them down myself. Number one, you can tell them by the food they eat. Now that sounds kind of you know, kind of silly on the surface. But you know what? I got this little idea, this little thought. Most of us look like we've been eating pretty good. Some of y'all could stand another meal or two. But most of us have got a little bit to spare. Used to tell people, I said, "Preacher, you just keep getting fat." And I said, "Well, we have a famine one of these days. Somebody have to preach funerals. And you skinny folks will die first." Amen. So I can make up excuses for eating if I want to. May not be right, but I can do it. But as I look into the Word of God, I get to thinking, have you seen these old commercials? This is before. Here's a woman standing there. I mean, she's bulging out like a bulldozer everywhere. She's about as round as she is tall. And they've got a little sign above it that says before. Now, she's been on this 13-week diet. Right over here is a little old bitty skinny version of her, and it says after. Isn't that amazing? Here comes a fella. He's standing there with a big old pop gut. And here he is standing there. I mean, boy, terrible looking. Reminds me of me in the mirror. Amen. And that's before. After. I mean, now he can run 3 miles a day or 20 miles a day. Skinny, got muscle. That's after. That's before. And I got to thinking, what if I could look at some of you Christians and we could reach inside you and pull the spiritual man or woman out? You with me? I can just see some of us about that big around. Skinny mom, eye sockets, doesn't set, can't see nothing to you. But here we are, physically, fat giants and spiritual doors. Can't hardly, and I know this is to be, can't hardly say, amen. I mean, you practice that all the time, don't you? Come to church, praise God. And some of you so skinny on the inside, spiritually, that on you say, amen. Now, what I'm talking about this morning is, I can tell by your diet. You see these little kids, they sit and play them little games at the TV and eating tater chips and popcorn and Hot Pockets and they don't know what it is to eat beans and taters and cornbread. Is that all we got to eat? You put that out in front of them? Now, that'll stick to your ribs. But they like that quick food. We're living in the day of the, you know, fast food. Run to the drive-thru and get it, and before you get to the road, you'd have it slaughtered. And we ain't got time to sit down. I'll guarantee you, if I said this as well, there's not me in this building that sits down with the family anymore at the table and has a natural meal like we. I remember as a boy coming up. Every evening. Couldn't do it when the school was going because the kids is at school, but Mama would have breakfast. Amen. My family's just a little bit different. My Mama didn't know how to cook much. My daddy robbed the cradle. She was, 14 years old when they married? And all she knew was soup, beans, and cornbread, and potatoes, fried potatoes. And I was raised on them. I used to see my wife take soup beans. I wondered about this. I watched my wife fix soup beans one time when we first married. And she took them soup beans out of the bag and put them down in a little pan, and she run water over them and stirred them and run water over them and stirred them and run water over them and kept stirring them, and the water was going through the pan. One of them little things that sieved it out. Then I watched my wife take those beans, and she'd just kind of do this. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking them.
Yeah.
I said, what are you looking them for? I've never seen my mother do that. She just opened the sack and poured her in. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Sitting at the table, we'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden, a rock!
Yeah.
I said, I found a rock. Daddy said, yeah, they just scooping things up off the floor. Mama never looked them. My wife looked them. But we'd have a meal and we'd sit down at the table. And we'd sit there at that table. And we'd talk. My daddy and mama was kind of strange in the marriage. Daddy liked coffee, so he'd drink a cup of coffee. Mama liked coffee, so she'd drink coffee. But as young as mom and daddy never give us anything to drink. Y'all remember that? Anybody raised like that? Anybody? There's one. Thank God I ain't told him nothing. We'd set the table. And we'd eat. And the reason Daddy done it, I seen some of your youngins sitting around. You know what to do? They'd drink about 3 glasses of tea and just about 4 bites of food. And then they got to have potato chips in 20 minutes. Does that sound normal? Now, I'm getting at a point here. I've got, 7 points? I'm not going to get them all done, I'll tell you that now. I done got bogged down here. But looking at this, it's a table. Daddy'd buy into them cornbread and beans and them taters, and he'd take that coffee cup. Every once in a while, if it was real hot, he had a saucer. And he'd pour it out in that saucer and slurp it up. I just see somebody trying to do that in this modern day. My kids come over to the house and I pour it out and say, that's a daddy. What is this, a hog pen? I was raised that way. Didn't know much about it. But I do remember this. My mama didn't fix breakfast. She didn't know how to cook. But she knew how to fix beans and taters and cornbread. And we had some variety of that every night. One night cornbread, beans and taters. The next night it's beans and cornbread and taters. And if there's any taters left, and usually there was nothing left at our house, but maybe just a little square of cornbread. And Mama fixed a lot of cornbread. Daddy didn't buy it by the little 5-pound bag. He got it by a big sack. Flour came in flour sacks. Because Mama didn't know how to fix biscuits. And biscuits and gravy is what we had if we had any breakfast at all. See, I don't eat biscuits and gravy now. I don't like them. I like biscuits. Amen. I was raised on that. Well, let me go on. We'd have a meal and we'd say, Daddy, I need something to drink. He said, run. We'd go over to the sink and get just a little bit of water, drink it, and come back and sit down. And what we done, we got through, we eat more food. And it helped us. Daddy knew that food's going to help us more than that water because we're going to drink the water when we get out of there. Understand? I watch these little Christians come to the house of God, and my brother, they don't even know what you're talking about, and not even is it. They hadn't been in their Bible for a week or 3 or 4 days, and even then it's just a kind of look at some of the stuff that they got stuffed in it. And maybe just for a little devotional. We've got people in the house of God that they like, and I'm not against this. This is all right. They rather have their daily devotionals, and their daily devotional is something somebody said or done, and somebody's wrote, and those things are good for you sometimes, and sometimes they're not. But they'll go and read somebody's daily devotion, which is one little verse of Scripture, just a little portion of it, and just about two or three paragraphs. You see, I found out people like little things to read. And some of you got books on subjects that people have written, preachers have written, and they're good books, no doubt. I can take you to my library and show you the same thing. Where I've taken off, and when I read a book, I like to read it all. It's reading like my Bible is just a lot of reading, though, ain't it? I dare say today, as some of you here never read your Bible through one time. And I'm not looking to see, I'm not going to pick on you if you ain't. I'm praying the Holy Ghost stab you in the heart so strong that you'll start today. But now if you do start that today, don't let that be all you do. Amen. When I was in the boy, when I was a young boy in Sunday school, I'd read that verse in that little quarterly, you know, you used to have quarterlies. Most folks didn't know how to teach out of the Bible, no how. But they'd use those quarterlies. And in them quarterlies, it said, Monday you read this, and Tuesday you read this, and Wednesday you read that. And the teacher would say on Sunday morning, how many read your Bible every day? Did you do that? Quarterly. And I always wanted to say yes. So I read them. But that's all I read. Just one verse of Scripture. Because if I said yes and told the truth, you know what? She put a big old star up there on the wall by my name. And I loved it when they wasn't a place missing, didn't have a star. Some of y'all like that. You've been trying to read your Bible straight through, and you're bragging on yourself. That's wonderful that you're doing, but I'm telling you, you ought to be doing it because you want to, and that's not all you read.
That's right.
It's kind of like laying down in bed and saying, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Glory to God. Done my praying for the day. Amen? You understand where I'm at today? I'm talking about you until by your diet. There's three things I want to mention to you about the Word of God. The food that you eat will make you what you need to be as a child of God. Number one, the words of God are pure words. Some people rather read their commentaries. I've read a lot of commentaries and read after a lot of commentators. They all belong to the tater family.
Yeah.
But look at Proverbs chapter 30. Would you do it, please? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. See, when you said you ain't even mentioned your word. Oh, I have done it. Here's what David said. He said, in the word of God, he talks about how sweet are thy words unto my taste. I'm talking about what he eat. He said, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 5 says, every word. Now did you get that? Every word. That means in. You don't know where I'm coming from, do you? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. And that means revelation, the last word of the last chapter says, amen. That means every word in between all that, too. So, Solomon, he's the son of David. He said, every word of God is, what's that word there?
Pure.
Pure. There's not too much pure in this world today. Purity is a thing of the past. Everybody's trying to defile it and have defiled it. But the Word of God is not defiled.
Amen.
Some people's Bibles are.
Yeah.
I said a while ago, we're talking about the distinguishing marks of a King James Bible believer.
Amen.
You tell him by his food he eats. He's got the right Bible. It's the pure words. He is a shield. The Bible said he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Solomon said they're pure words. Not only are the words of God pure words, but they're perfect words. You won't find anything wrong with the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration.
Yeah.
Inspired of God. They're divine.
Amen.
That makes them perfect. It's written by a perfect God. And their pure words come from the pure mouth of a pure God.
Amen.
And third, they're not only perfect words and pure words, but they are preserved words.
Yeah.
Back up to Psalms. Psalm chapter 12, please. I use this quite often. Lots of times I think on it quite often and don't even speak about it. Chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 of the book of Psalms. Verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, there again, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, or furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation. How long?
Forever.
I was wondering if you were going to see if I stopped that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he said forever. The Bible said in the Word of God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away.
Amen.
Glory to God. So I want to make my appetite to the Word of God. I want to feed the spiritual man. Amen. I'd like to get so fat in the Lord that if there was a way possible that you could take the spiritual man out of a physical man, if you did, you'd have a death, but if you could take the spiritual man out of the physical man, that instead of reaching in and jerking it out, it'd be one of them things. If you ever got him out, he'd go, fuck. I'd like to be so fat you couldn't separate me. If you did, boy, you said, Lord, have mercy. Look at the physical man, just skin and bones. And the spiritual man. Now, wouldn't you like to have that too? Well, most of us are starving the spiritual man and fattening the fleshly man. God help us. That's one mark you can know by that, whether you're, you know, got the real goods or not. The second thing, you not only can tell about their food that they eat, you can tell by the faith that they exercise. Ever born again, a child of God has faith. God gives them faith. We'll tell you 3 things about faith, and then we'll just have to go home. And I'll give you the other 5 things later. Because we ain't going to get time to get into this. Faith! Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin too as well. And God is the one that gives us faith. Faith, we have faith, according to the Word of God here in Psalm 119, we have faith in the precepts. That's what the Word of God stands for. We have faith in the right precepts. A lot of people got precepts. I didn't say biceps, I said precepts.
Yeah.
There's a difference. The precepts. The precepts, there's a lot of people that are living for God and they're trusting the Word of God. If you're trusting the Word of God, you've got your faith in the right precepts.
Yeah.
I want to put my faith in the right thing. My faith is not in money.
That's right.
My faith is not in the world.
Yeah.
My faith is not in the government. My faith is not even in family. And I love my family. But my faith is in God and His Word. I trust Him over anybody and everybody and over anything and everything.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for His goodness. I praise Him. Not only do we have the right precepts as a child of God, we have the right principles. There's a lot of people who don't have much principle. They don't seem to have nothing to keep them in check, to keep them in control, to have to answer to. I'm glad a child of God has the Word of God, and it'll give you the right principles to live by. There's some things sometimes I have an idea I ought to do, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe anybody ought to do anything but that. Do you? Be honest with each other. And maybe I'm the only one in here like that, but there's sometimes I think of something. Boy, I'd like to say this or do that to so-and-so. I get that. Ooh, I'd like to see their face if I told them this. Have you ever said that? No, now preacher. God, not me. You're lying.
That's right.
I've never gotten around somebody and said I'd like. Well, a few times I have, to a little degree, done it. But most of the time I keep all this to myself. If you just know all the stuff I've said about you, thought about. Not kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't have no animosity to nobody in this building. But there's been some people that have treated me bad. Now, you may have been through the world and everybody's treated you good, and if they have and everybody thinks well of you, I'm leery of you. Don't come see me. I'll hide in China. You'll ever steal it. If I had any. Amen. I got rid of it. But you know what? I'm serious. In your mind, you look at old so-and-so. I remember what they done to me back then. I ain't got no use for them. You may not tell nobody that, but you said it to you in the Lord. And if I get my chance, I am going to take care of business. And you get that day, you get that opportunity, and you open your mouth. About time you open your mouth, you said, I want to tell you something. And you look at them and you fix the left, lay the law down to them, and all of a sudden you say, I'm glad I'm born again, ain't you? The old preacher, somebody cut him off. I think it's what happened, it cut him off. And he chased him. Come down the road with his wife, and said they got to the traffic light. He threw that car up in park and run up there. He said, I'm going to tell him what I was. And he said, his wife said, remember whose child you are. He said, that got a hold of him and went up there and he started witnessing to him and telling him about Jesus. You know why? He had the right principles. You see, the flesh would want to skin somebody's head. Of course, some of you ain't got much to skin, but you understand? Sometimes we'd like to get even with somebody, but the Holy Ghost and the Word of God tells us that we can't, because God has given us distinguishing marks of being a principled people, that we've got some principles. And then we'll forget. I had a fellow working down at the mill. I've told this story, been a long time, but had a fellow. And he was old, and I reckon you get old, you get ill. I don't know. They say that. I'm old, I don't know where I get ill or not. But you had to always go get parts from this man if you were going to do anything. And I had a job that I had to get parts from him all the time. And if you asked him, he'd say, and he's supposed to go get it and bring it to you. And I went down and I said, I need a certain number of wheels that had so many teeth on it. And he says, I don't know where I got one of them or not. I said, well, would you go look? He said, I ain't got time to fool you. I said, well, I've got the job to do. They give me this to do. He said, get in here and look for it yourself. And I said, they pay you to do that. And I went out on him, buddy. I didn't get too mean, but I told him what I thought about anybody. You work for the company. You're supposed to do what they tell you to do. You've got a job just like I got to do. And I gave him the whole nine yards. Didn't say no bad language or nothing of that nature. And I went back out there. I went and found my pick wheel and went back out there and put it on, run my sample, fixed it up and took it back. And I didn't even go to the door. I went around the back and come in, walked up to him, and I said, here's this. I'm going to put it back. He said, okay. And I come over to him, and I said, sir, I got out there, got to working, and the Holy Ghost just tore me all to pieces. And I didn't talk too nice to you a while ago. And I want to tell you that I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me for what I said. That man looked at me like he's strange, like nobody's ever told me that. He looked at me and he says, and tears come in his eyes. He said, thank you. Thank you. Did you know what? Every time I went to that door and said, I need this, he said, just a minute. Go back and get it and bring it back to me. Never had another unkind word to me.
Yeah.
But God's people's got some principles.
Yeah.
And we get them from the Word of God. Thank God we've got a book that keeps us straight.
Amen.
Now, it'll keep you straighter than it's keeping you if you'll just let it do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I ignore it, don't you?
Right.
Oh, no, preacher, I don't know. Don't lie. Then not only do we have faith in the right precepts and faith in the right principles, but we have faith in the right power. I know who God is, and I know the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Praise God, I don't know how long I preach and don't really care. I could go on for a while, but I'm going to stop right there. Amen. I enjoy preaching the Word of God. Sometimes I get set over at that table and I say, well, I'd just like to preach. And sometimes I do. One good thing, live by yourself, brother. You can preach any time you please. Amen! Preach in the shower. I used to sing in the shower. Now preach in the shower. Amen! That's clean sermons. Stand to your feet, please. We'll bow our heads.